This is Grace Wabuki Klein, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited about the conversation we get to have today with my new friend, Grace Klein, all about her book, Flourish, Finding Purpose in the Unknown and Unexpected Seasons of Life. I think we can all relate to this topic and have all been in seasons where they're unexpected or we're not exactly sure how God is going to orchestrate all the details. I know you're going to be so encouraged by Grace's story. I know I was. And I just want to give you a little caveat. We do have just a little bit of feedback throughout this episode, but I don't want that to be a distraction, but this is such a rich, rich conversation that I do want to let you know that up front, that you'll hear a little bit of that here and there, but I just know that you're going to be so encouraged by Grace. So help me welcome Grace to the show. Grace, I am so excited to have you on the show today and just super thrilled about your book and excited for our conversation. So thanks for being with me.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity, Rebecca. So excited to be with you today.
I know. I am so excited about your book. I love the way that it's come together and kind of the theme of it. It's called Flourish, Finding Purpose in the Unknown and Unexpected Seasons of Life. And I just relate to that so much. I think we can all maybe think of a time, or maybe we're in the midst of a time right now that feels unknown or it feels unexpected. And we're trying to navigate that and navigate that faithfully and trust that to God. And so I just would love to hear your journey with the Lord as you've you know, had this idea put on your heart, and now we get to hold the book in our hands. But as any of us who are in this world know, it's probably been a very long journey for you to get here. So I want to hear that backstory.
Yes. You know, it's probably one of the biggest yeses that I've said to the Lord. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I wanted to write this book for the person who's frustrated or losing hope because their current season of life does not look like they expected. You know, you've tried everything and nothing is changing. And so often when we go through unexpected or unknown seasons, there can be a tendency to either go into a cave of depression or put life on hold and say, I'll do this when this happens. But I truly believe God's heart is for us to flourish. And I want to help people give practical tools to flourish no matter what season of their life that they are in. And so just as an overview, the book is divided into four seasons, just like nature, where fall is about letting go of things in your head, your heart, and your hands that might be keeping you stuck. So things in your head are like, I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm not good enough. This is never going to work out. Things in your heart would be like bitterness, unforgiveness, comparison, jealousy, and things in your hand might be like the tithe, offering, a relationship that's not God's best for you. And so how do we release those things so that we can truly flourish? That's fall. And then winter is about the hardships, the struggles, the trials, the waiting seasons of life. How do you continue to stand and keep your faith when the struggle is real? So that's winter. And then spring is about being open to whatever God has for you, because it may not look as you prayed for or thought it was going to look like. And then summer is a time of celebration and reflection, looking back on what the Lord has taught you through the journey, celebrating an answer to prayer, and then also helping others who are going along the journey as well. So that's kind of like an overview of what the book encompasses, and then a whole lot of stories of what the Lord has taught me and brought me through each one of those different seasons in my life.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think that's a beautiful way of thinking about our lives. And it's just so helpful as we come into this new year, because we all will have winters. We will all have summers where we're in a season of celebration, or maybe we are in a fall season where we're letting go of some things. And even in January, when this episode is releasing, we might be in a fall season. We might be in a summer Indeed. Season. Praise God for that. And so yeah. I love that this kind of gives us, I keep saying that word framework, but that's what comes to mind of kind of yeah. seeing each of our seasons in that way. And I think that's helpful because sometimes we can, you know, wonder, okay, am I ever going to see the other side of this winter? Yes. Or yes. I'm in a summer season, but I'm so used to winter that I don't know how to celebrate anymore. Or, you know, there are different kind of ways that can play out in our lives. And I yes. wonder, as you've reflected on this and written this book, are there any of those tensions that feel really familiar to you? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things I think that we experience tension is, unlike nature, where there is a set time for seasons, right? About 3 to 4 months, we know we're going to be changing to the next season. In life, it's not that way. You know, a season might last 3 to 4 months, years, or even decades. And so what do you do in those times when you are stuck in a season that you were not anticipating or did not think it was going to be this long? And for me, it was a winter season that was so prolonged. I was like, God, where are you? Am I doing something wrong? Why is it taking so long? And for me, my winter season was, I was single for so many years with a desire to get married. Now, I know some people are single and they have no desire, so that's their summer. But for me, I wanted to get married, and I went through my 20s and my 30s, and 20s, it was fine because other friends were single. We would go out, have fun. 30s, they started getting married, and then they started having kids. And then by 40, I was done. I was like, Lord, where did I miss a turn? Did I not hear you? And so, you know, for some who may be listening, your winter season may be, maybe you've been trying to get pregnant and start a family, or maybe you've been believing for healing or a financial breakthrough. And it's like, what do you do in those times when you're praying and praying and crying out to God and you're not seeing any change whatsoever? And so from those 20 years, like two decades, my friend, there are things that the Lord taught me on how do you continue to stand and keep your faith. And so I joke that this really could have been a series yeah. rather than just one book. But there were things that I did to keep standing, and that you can read about them in the book. But here's one thing I just want to encourage anybody who may be walking through that winter season. That God sees you. He has not forgotten you. He is still writing your story, and He is working in ways that you may not realize right now, but you will see on the other side as we were talking. And for me, what I realized, this was so key, because for years I cried out to God, why is it taking so long? Like, you created the world in 6 days. Surely it's not too difficult to answer this prayer. Bring my husband. And year after year went by, decade after decade. And it wasn't until after I got married that the Lord finally answered my question, Rebecca. I was asking Him, why do some people wait 2 years? And I waited two decades. And finally, the Lord said, Grace, do you want a faith that is 2 years deep or two decades deep? And my friends, that's when I got it. There are some things that can only be learned and developed in us through the heartache, through the pain, through the waiting, through the struggle, because it teaches us how to press into God, how to rely on Him, how to lean into Him in new ways of prayer and fasting and trusting in Him. And so for those who may be going through a winter season in this the time of January, I just want to encourage you that the Lord sees you. He has not forgotten you, and He's working something in you right now that could not be developed in you any other way. And so just trust Him. He's got you.
The Rebecca's Reads book for January is The Joy Bringer Challenge, Living the Power of the Good News by Susan Bowers. We know as followers of Christ that the good news of the gospel changes us, and the source of our joy is in Jesus. But what does it look like to live a life marked by joy? Susan intentionally lays out a roadmap for you to live like the gospel is good news. You don't want to miss it. Go order your copy on Amazon or at the link in the show notes today.
Yeah, I'm so encouraged by that. I am writing right now about longing. So when I saw your book, it just felt like a familiar friend, because I'm writing a lot about the trustworthiness of God and how do we and what does it look like to entrust our longings to Him, no matter what that might be. You rattled off a ton of examples a few minutes ago, whether it's a longing to have children or to be married or to excel in your career. It can be a host of different things, but at the root of it all, I think in some of the tensions that we hold, it is, do I live as if I know that God is trustworthy in the midst of my meanwhile that I'm waiting on, you know? And so I just think that's so important as we think about this topic. And something that I was thinking about, I've been thinking about, and I know you've written about, is there are seasons of our lives that can hold both a summer and a winter. Maybe there's one area of our lives where we are in celebration and God has really provided in a particular way. At the same time, there can be another area of our life that we're really longing and we're really entrusting that to the Lord, and we're holding both of those at once. That can be really hard. Another piece of that is relationship. Sometimes in friendships and even in marriage, our spouse can be in a summer when we are in a winter, or vice versa with fall and spring. And so will you talk to us about that a little bit? How do we hold two different seasons at once, maybe individually and then in relationship as well?
Yeah, that is such a great question, because in nature, you know, you don't have two seasons at the same time, but in life, you can definitely be in winter and summer at the same time, or fall and spring. And it's like, how do you navigate that? And I want to answer that, but I want to mention just one quick thing on what you were saying about longing, because what is something, like you said, I really experienced for many, many years. And what I can see now, a gift that has come out of that longing, because people are like, what is good? What good is there in this? I believe it has created such, those 20 years of longing for this answer to prayer have created a sensitivity in me to the Lord's longing for His sons and daughters. You know, I have such a heart for those who may have walked with the Lord before and they've now turned away from Him, or those who have never walked with Him before, because it's like, I just know in a deeper way the Lord's longing to be in relationship with Him. And so I feel like there's things that we can learn through that. But anyway, going back to your present question about the two different seasons, I definitely walked through that, where at one point I finally got this answer to prayer that I've been praying for over 20 years and got married, and the stories in my book, a beautiful story. I will say, Phil, at age 42, I was 42. He was my first boyfriend and first kiss. And I always clarify, it wasn't because there weren't guys interested, but because I truly believe God brings two people together for kingdom purpose. And I was determined not to settle or compromise. I'm not saying it was easy. It was definitely very lonely, but I can say it was worth the wait. And I'm so grateful. I'm loving married life. And so here I was in the summer as a newlywed. And just a few months later, my dad died. And my dad was my hero. He had been sick, but I had FaceTimed him the day before and he looked like he was getting better, had just gone into the hospital that morning for just a quick checkup type of thing. And all of a sudden I get this phone call from a number I did not recognize, and it's a doctor saying, "I'm sorry, we did everything we could." And I'm like, "Excuse me, what are you talking? Who is this? What are you talking about?" And so it completely blindsided me and turned my world upside down, and I could not understand why God had not told me. I was like, "I just spent time with you this morning, quiet time, and he had said jump on the plane to go be with your dad." I would have, because it's like when you've been walking with the Lord for many years and the importance of obedience to him and hearing his voice. So I had to work through all that. Like, Lord, if you knew he was going, why didn't you tell me? And then what happened, Rebecca? I started walking in a lot of fear that is not something that was normal for me because I'm a very independent, let's take the world, go adventure. And my husband is 15 years older than me. And so he would leave to go somewhere, and I'd be like, "Where are you going? When are you coming back? And can I go with you?" Now, he loved it because quality time is his love language. But for me, I knew that something was off. And so I worked with our counselor and then spent a lot of time in prayer. And finally, the Lord just put on my heart, said, "Grace, stop living in fear. Your dad was ready to go." And I tell you, Becca, it brought such like peace and closure. And I just started bawling because what I realized, what was my worst day was my dad's best day because he had been walking with the Lord for over 50 years and was meeting
Wow,
his
praise
maker
God.
face to face for the first time. And so I say all that and give all that background, story and context for anybody who may be listening and trying to navigate two very different seasons at the same time. Because here I was as a newlywed, cloud nine, and at the same time, the depths of sorrow and grief and pain and heartache. And I had to go towards to the Lord. I mean, definitely I appreciate, potential counseling and take advantage of those resources that we have, and getting that help. And then for me, definitely the foundation of going to the Lord and saying, "God, help me navigate this. Help me walk it in this season and be fully present, whether it's for your kids or at your job, or with your spouse, if you are married, to be able to be present at the same time, process and walk through all those feelings that the season brings."
Another layer of this that kind of came up for me as you were talking, that I wonder what we share in this. So there's a pretty significant age gap between you and your husband, as is the case in my marriage as well. And I wonder how has that played out for you in sometimes there are different seasons and there are different seasons in our marriage. There's different seasons in friendship and all of our relationships. But I also wonder, as you've considered this idea of seasons, how you've seen that play out in your marriage as well. I don't know if anything comes to mind for you there.
When we first met, first of all, I wasn't even like looking at him. Like, he came to help our church through a transition that we work with churches across the country. And so he came to help our church go through a transition from the founding pastor to his son. And so as part of that process, he had to interview some of the key staff members. And so I was one of them. And so it was very like, this is business. And then as he heard my story, he's like, "You should write a book." And he invited me to this conference that was for Christian writers and speakers. And so he happened to be there because he was the chairman of the board, and I didn't realize that's all in the book. But the point is, we ended up going to dinner one of the nights because dinner was on your own at the conference, and I didn't know anybody. So we just went to dinner and talked for 3 hours. And I was like, "Wow, this guy's an amazing guy." But he's like my boss's contact, so didn't even, get my. But I could tell he was kind of leaning in, a little bit interested. So I went back to my hotel room and just had some time with the Lord, asking the question I'd asked anytime I was interested in somebody or they were interested in me. And I'd ask, "Lord, is this who you have for me?" And previously I'd heard no, 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 and no, and no. And that evening I heard the Lord say, Grace, he is my gift to you. And I was like, what is this actually happening? And I freaked out, Rebecca. I spent the whole night Googling online, are there any people who have longer than a 15, bigger than a 15 year gap that are still flourishing? And all I came up with was George and Amal Clooney. And I'm like, that's great, but they're not saved. I'm happy for them. But I came up with Cece Winans and her husband. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
And yes, there's either 17 or 19 years difference between the two of them. And since then, Phil has been able to thank Alvin and say, thank you so much. You gave me a chance. Yeah. But, you know, so my initial thought was freaking out. Like, how is this going to work? You know, but I now see it as such a gift from God. You know, I love the wisdom that he brings. And just the things that he has walked through that he's now able to speak into my life. I see it as the greatest gift from God, just because of my personality. I'm always one who, like, I'm thinking about the future and what are we going to do? And I can be off, you know, God says something and I'm off running, and he's the one who kind of keeps me steady and say, okay, Grace, let's think through this. And what's this going to look like? So I feel like we really balance each other well. And then I keep him young, as I'm sure you'd say with your husband as well. Right. You know, we bring the spice into the relationship and help him, you know, we're eating healthy and exercising and we're going to, you know, do this, that, and the other. And so I feel like we really complement. There have been funny moments though, like one of the first dates that when he was courting me, took me to this concert, and I was the youngest, darkest person there, because it's also an interracial marriage. So my husband's white. And so we're at this concert. I didn't know but one song. And, you know, everywhere we go, whenever we go out, like to dinner, the hostess will always be, will that be a separate check? So we've joked that we're going to write a book someday called, will that be a separate check? Because people never think that we're together. We walk through the airport and people cut in between us, you know, because it's really hard to hold hands in an airport. But, you know, it's just, we just laugh and we just know we are just so happy. And I will end with this, because I feel like because he knows the heartache of having lost someone. So his first wife passed away of cancer 10 years ago. So because he knows that heartache of having lost someone, and I know the heartache of having waited for so long, I feel like we really cherish what we have, and the kind of things that people tend to fight about, we're just kind of like, not that we don't have our own things, but the little things that, you know, we're like, oh, we're just happy to be here and enjoy life together. So I don't know if that sheds anything on what you were saying, but absolutely. I'm just grateful.
Me too. I think having sat in the longing for so long for both of us, I was younger than you when I got married, but I also was a bridesmaid 12 times before I wore a dress that was white. Right. And so I sat in that longing for many years, and having done that does make you so, so grateful for God's provision. And I just would testify to that as well. And a lot of those dynamics feel really similar for us as well. I think some of the generational references are some of the funny things that will pop up. Like there will be music that maybe I didn't grow up listening to that he grew up listening to, and silly things like that. I would say are probably the most noticeable in the day to day, but it really is a gift to me. His wisdom is a gift to me. And I'm so grateful. So I relate to you in that as well. So
How many years have you guys been married now?
Almost 5. So we got married in spring of 19. And the first few years were a global pandemic, and my husband's a pastor, so leading a church through that. Ooh. And we moved back to East Tennessee, which is home to both of us, last summer. And so we're in a fun season that we didn't have in our first few years of marriage right now. And so I'm grateful for that.
Yes. Oh, we definitely have got to, because I'm right here in Birmingham. I'm originally from
Yeah, you're
California.
the
And
south of
so,
us. Yeah.
yes. And we've been married, it will be 6 years this March. So I
Oh,
made
that's
sure I
awesome.
got married a week before I turned 43. So I could say
Oh,
I'm married at
that's awesome.
42.
That's awesome.
But yes, so we have definitely got to connect so much. I'm like,
Yes.
I want to hear more about your
I
story.
know.
That's the awkward thing about podcasts. It's like, oh, I want to know. I want to know what God's doing
I
in your
know.
life and
I
all the
know.
everything.
I know. Same. Well, for listeners who've not heard, I won't give the extended version, but the short version is he was on staff at the church I was attending years and years and years before we ever dated. He was children's pastor at that time, and I was teaching a children's class in our children's ministry. And so every few weeks, when he would visit the campus that I attended and taught at, he was kind of the children's staff person on site at that campus. And so every week, a few weeks, we would cross paths, and we thought the world of each other, but didn't date in that season at all. Although I later found out that my small group leader of many, many, many years actually approached Dustin at one point and said, "Have you ever thought about pursuing Rebecca? Because I think you all would really, you might be a match." And at the time, he was about to move to Mississippi, which is where we lived for the first few years after we got married, and the timing just wasn't right. But in hindsight, it's really been sweet to see how some of our friends either saw it years ago, or when we began dating, they were like, "Oh, well, of course, that totally makes sense," you know? And so years after that, we reconnected and began dating. So I say that to say, if you are in a season where you're like, "Man, I don't even feel like I know any good guys that love the Lord, and I'm really entrusting this to God, but like, where are they?" Dustin was someone who was we were very much on the fringes of each other's lives. We were not super close. We again thought a lot of each other, and we definitely crossed paths, but you just truly never know where and how God is going to write that story. So that was really special for us.
I love that. Thank you for sharing, because it really emphasizes something that I believe to be true. And I encourage all my younger friends or single friends, older or younger, if you think of it kind of like a triangle, if you're listening, just if you draw a triangle on a piece of paper, and like you're at the base of the triangle, and maybe your future spouse is at the other base, and then at the top is God. And as you're just pursuing on that track to pursuing God, he'll have your paths cross, you know? And so you just stay planted where he has put you, in the church he has put you. God knows where to find you, because I know it can be like, okay, where do I need to go? Position myself, which church, which young adults group, or which blah, blah, blah. Just stay planted where God has put you. He sees you, and he will navigate, orchestrate your paths to cross. And that's exactly your story and
That's
mine.
right.
We're serving God, loving him, and it's like trust. You trust, and he will see you through. So anyway, sorry to digress this whole
Oh,
podcast, but
no, I
I
love
just,
this. This is exactly what I wanted. And the thing that's coming to my mind as I hear you say that, just to add on to what you're saying, is I think so many times, particularly with the longing for marriage, we almost feel guilty for it, or we feel shame over it. And I just want to encourage someone who's listening, and maybe you've been made to feel that way, or you feel like you need to feel that way about your longing for marriage, that it is God-given. God created it. He put that desire in your heart, and it is not something to be ashamed of, afraid of, or to make light of. Right? God knows your heart better than you do. He knows the depth to which you desire this thing, this good thing that he's created. And so surround yourself with people, and surround yourself with people who will help you pursue it in that way. Right? Like I think sometimes we're fed that line of like, well, just get yourself so busy and enjoy your life, and he'll come along at the right time. There's so many like kind of trite statements that are just so unhelpful. Quite frankly, as it pertains to the longing of marriage, we could talk about that all day long. And I I just want to reiterate just how vital it is that we remember that it is God-given, it is God-designed. And I love what you're saying of like, pursue God. And at some point along the way, if that is God's will for you, God will orchestrate every detail of that. Right? So
100%.
Anyway, that's my soapbox 100%. For
the day. I'm like, go ahead and preach, girl. So good. And I was like with you. I'm like, that would need a whole other podcast to talk about all the trite things that we do not need to be saying or hearing, right?
Yes. Love it. I know. Well, I am so excited to ask you this last question that I ask all of my guests. So the show is called Radical Radiance, with a heart to help women see what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus in their life, their work, their relationships. It all goes back to this verse that God put on my heart as I was naming the show. It's Psalm 34, verse 5. And it says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be covered in shame. And so the question I love asking is, in this season of your life, I just wonder how you would answer the question of what about Jesus makes you radiant?
I mean, girl, that is just a whole other podcast in itself.
I know.
I would say, in just looking back over the whole scope of my life, we didn't get into the whole other story of mine where, you know, I was born in Uganda. We grew up in Minnesota at a time when the laws had changed, but people's mindsets hadn't. So experienced a lot of racism, like always being teased before we had the word bullied, and, you know, just made to feel less than, not going to amount to anything. And so to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is who they all say I am or am not, but who you say that I am, and to learn that I'm a child of the King, heir to the throne, fearfully and wonderfully made, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I mean, I could go on, girl. And that's why I'm radiant, because he accepts me just as I am, transforms me to be more like him, and I know who I am in Christ. And so just, I wish everybody could have that foundation of growing up with the Lord, but if not, you know, definitely just getting to know him, whatever age, because while the world might judge you for what you've done or said or what you look like, blah, 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 the Lord accepts you just as you are, loves you, and just wants you to come to him, follow him, and abide in him. And so that's a long answer, but that's why I'm right. I love that question, though. Nobody's asked that. But it truly is, because people will notice something about you. They'll be like, there's something different about you. Girl, it's not the makeup. No, there's a lot of you that, woo. But it's Jesus. Jesus. And for anybody listening who just may, I don't know how the year might be starting for you, if I can just encourage you this year to lean into him. There's no other place you want to be, no one else you want to rely on more than him. And he wants you to abide with him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that so much. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to share with everyone, how can they connect with you? Where can they grab the book after they listen to this conversation?
Yes, you can get the book Flourish by Graceful Bookie Klein anywhere books are sold online. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target, Walmart, wherever you like to shop. And you can find me at Grace Wabuki Klein on Instagram, Facebook, and that's my website as well, Grace Wabuki Klein.
Awesome. Well, I have just loved this conversation so much. This topic is kind of the water that I'm swimming in right now. And so to get to talk about it with a fellow friend who's written about it is really fun. And hopefully that's a fun teaser for everyone. We won't hold this book in our hands for a while, but in about a year or so, we'll get to talk more about it, which I'm excited about. So thanks so much for writing this really important book and giving us this framework to consider our seasons of life. And I'm just grateful. Thanks for being here, Grace.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And I can't wait to read your book when it comes out. That's awesome.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Grace. Go grab a copy of Flourish, Finding Purpose in the Unknown and Unexpected Seasons of Life, wherever you like to buy books. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with a friend? You have no idea how much that means to me and helps get the show in as many women's hands as possible as we seek to radiate the heart of Christ in all that we do in our life, our work, our relationships. So that would mean the world to me. And if you haven't ever left a rating and a written review for the podcast, would you consider doing that as well? It's another big booster in getting the show out to as many people as possible. So I'd be so thankful for that. And I will be back next week for another amazing episode, and I will talk to you then.